You're listening to littlepodcast.com.
This week on the Famicom Dojo podcast, Sega goes mobile exclusive, Vink rediscovers a 16-bit classic, and getting a copy of Majora's Mask 3D is a little tricky. Looks like Sega does what Nintendo won't. Right? The Famicom Dojo video game podcast is sponsored by littlepodcast.com and listeners like you. To sponsor an episode, go to littlepodcast.com, pick Famicom Dojo from the dropdown, pay with a credit card or PayPal, and shoot us an email over to podcast@famicomdojo.tv to let us know what we should say about your generous contribution. Yes, we were born to play all this video games. Not that we are, you know, Famicom Dojo. Hey, Vink, you've been awfully quiet. How you doing?
I'm doing better. I'm almost fully recovered.
Oh, were you sick? I mean, I know it was going around, but...
Well, I don't like to talk about it, but I had a case of Sonic Boom. It was a mild case. It was only the demo. People say it won't spread, so. Although I hear my 3DS might be susceptible to it as well, so I'm keeping it quarantined in the other room.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, you practice safe gaming, boys and girls.
You see right now, you go to your eShop and you see and there's this demo. It looks enticing. It's free. It always is, kids. The first one's always free. But don't do it. No, it wasn't. It wasn't. No, it was bad. It tried so hard. But, you know, and that was the last... I guess they wanted to go out with a boom.
Sega's
financial reports came out. That's what
okay.
I'm trying to say.
Okay. I was just going to say, you know, at least it was a catchy song in Samba de Amigo.
Oh, man. That Samba de Amigo is going to be... There's never going to be another Samba de Amigo. I just realized that. It made me very sad.
Oh, no.
Because I don't think there's going to be a lot of... Well, then again? Maybe. Because of where Sega's moving, it might make sense. Let's talk about this.
Okay. What's going on?
Sega had a really bad financial report. Not super bad compared to, you know, how bad it could have been, but like it's another bad financial report after years of bad financial reports.
Okay.
And they made the decision that basically was it last year or a year before? They made the decision that they were pretty much going to stop making anything other than the franchises that they knew could sell really well.
Oh,
you know,
oh,
Sonic
no.
And, you know, they which killed all the people begging for Shenmue 3. It twisted the knife there. Yeah. But you know, they were still planning to make console games, just far fewer. Only the series that they knew would sell. Yakuza in Japan. Not in the West. But they were going to only take the safe bet. So what they did was, since then, they released a number of Sonic games. And they released, what was it, Alien Isolation?
Sounds right.
And the Sonic games were considered... Lost World was considered okay, but not great. And Sonic Boom was... they'd be trying to get the type of branding a venereal disease could get.
Oh, ouch.
No. The cartoon did well though, and they're getting money from that.
I was gonna say, you know, this game did so well, they're making a cartoon out of it.
Well, the cartoon actually, I think, came out before the game. Oh, I mean, okay. It was. The game is more of a spinoff to the cartoon than the cartoon is a spinoff to the game, is my understanding.
Okay, got it.
Sonic comics still do okay, but the thing is, you know, they got these reports. Alien Isolation was critically acclaimed, but I don't know. I think people were too burnt out on Sega's last Aliens game, Aliens Colonial Marines, which was broken and bad. That I think a lot of people just skipped this one. I think the brand was hurt too much by the previous game. But either way, Sega did not do well, and they announced that they're going to focus their main energies now on, like, PC games. So I'm guessing the Football Manager series will continue on, which is good. It's a good series.
Is that a joke? I have no idea what that is.
Well, I don't know if any installments came out in the States for a console, but it's a pretty big series in Europe. It's a sim football game. It's not an action football game. So it's not like FIFA by football I mean soccer. Sorry. I've become international, Sean, in the time. It is one of the symptoms of Sonic Boom. I haven't played them myself because I'm not really into sports games. Although, frankly, if I was going to play, a sim might be the way to do it.
Sure.
Like, I'm not really into racing games. Arcade racers, yes, but like into like F1 or, you know, games like that. But I was playing this Grand Prix Story, which was a sim game, and it was super fun. So, but anyway, it's like trading players and, you know, a lot of stats management and stuff like that. So that game still sells very well, and I'm guessing it's not very expensive to make. So that one, but more so than that, free-to-play online RPGs and smartphone games. That's what they're going to be doing.
Wow.
Now there's no saying for sure if they're going to stop making console games altogether, but, you know, beyond what they've announced right now, I don't know. Which scared a lot of people at first because they recently bought Atlus.
Yeah.
But apparently they're keeping that, it's a fairly profitable division by itself, and they're letting it kind of do what it's doing.
Okay.
So, you know, Persona 5 is fine. You know, if Fire Emblem Cross Shin Megami Tensei is actually still being made, that one will potentially be fine.
What I read was that this isn't affecting their current release schedule.
Yeah. And the thing is, Atlus's games, at least in Japan, sell well enough that I'd say if it ain't broke, don't fix it, you know.
Right.
They should probably just let it be. But this is, even if they do continue to release console games, which I think they will. I think they will. Because there's still money to be made, but it's gonna be almost nothing. I'd say Yakuza will continue in Japan, because that series is popular, and we'll probably get a Sonic in some form or another. But I can't really think of any, but, you know, we're not going to get the Panzer Dragoon revival that I've been praying for. We're probably going to get more Phantasy Star, but it's probably going to be free to play online game.
Mm.
If Shining Force ever comes back, that's probably how it's going to be. Shenmue Mobile. Oh man, I'm just sad now. I don't know if a company has ever fallen this far. Do you know what I mean? There's been companies that went out of business, obviously, but how many companies that were ever as important in the video game industry as Sega have fallen that far? The only other one I can think of is Atari.
Yeah, right? Oof.
But I mean, when it comes to like Japanese video game companies, but even Atari, they're they weren't making games. You know, they pretty much stopped making games after the Jaguar. I mean, you know, they had, you know, they were bought by Infogrames, and, you know, they did some games, you know. But, I mean, as a major player in the console space, Jaguar was kind of their last hurrah. So you're talking about basically late 1970s until 95. But Sega's been around almost that long, and they were actively making games that entire time, you know. But, man, when they stopped making their own hardware, something died.
And so people want Nintendo to go this route. Why?
Well, I mean, I guess this is going to be the test. If Sega can actually pull themselves back up, it'll be a compelling argument for Nintendo to go mobile. Oh, what was the quote you said earlier?
Sega does what Nintendo don't. Finally, going mobile exclusively.
Yeah, making smartphone games. Not even exclusively, but like Sega's had success with mobile. I've got a very competent Crazy Taxi port on my smartphone.
Oh.
I've got a really hard to control Jet Set Radio on my smartphone.
Oh, good.
Like, that's the thing. I mean, with current smartphones, some games work and some games don't. I think Sonic didn't work very well on smartphones, the one Sega ported, but that new engine made by, what's his name? Someone basically homebrewed a Sonic engine, and Sega went, hey, this is way better than what we've got. We're going to use that. And he gets the credit, and it's really good. But still, it looks great, it handles great, but it's still touch controls.
Okay.
So Crazy Taxi worked because you can do the tilt stuff. Sonic Racing Extreme worked. Those worked fine. But like when they... the role-playing games, when they did their Genesis ports of like Shining Force, that was fine. But like Streets of Rage, or was it Golden Axe? Which one did I download? I don't remember. Either way, it was garbage.
Mm.
Just because it was so hard to control. And that's the thing. Sega might still keep making games, but I think they're going to make them and tailor them to the smartphone market. And really, that's not really what I want to play.
I mean, this kind of makes sense to me in a very cynical way because, yeah. You know, when we were both last at Tokyo Game Show,
yeah.
That was part of the keynote, like, you know, does making unique hardware for gaming even make sense anymore?
Yeah.
And they had a lot of reasons why. And then that was the year that the 3DS came out. Right. And it was kind of unproven quantity yet. And, you know, it's still kicking, but there are a lot of cynical people saying, nah, everyone just go with the single platform and you know, try and eke out profits out of the much smaller gaming revenue that is the total iOS sales, you know. So and then, like, since then also there that mobile section in TGS has been growing and growing.
Yep.
So
I haven't been there since that one we went to, but I would estimate that if the trends continued, it's probably a good half of what's going on right now.
Right? So you go where the growth is, I guess, but the size is still, even if there's growth, there's just, I don't know.
No, but the thing is, so many things have led me to be terribly. Now, you know that I was an iOS gamer for a long time. A lot of our early podcasts were me, you know, talking about different games I found, being very happy. But recently, I don't think I bought an iOS game in the last year at all, like zero games. I'm totally burnt out on them. And the recent trends with things that Capcom and Square are doing have made me question whether I'm ever going to buy another game again on a smartphone. Okay, that's hyperbole.
Wow.
Of course, because those might be the only games available in the future.
I'm going to ask you what they're doing with it. I think this is a good time to insert a comment that.
Sure.
Speaking of mobile gaming, my older son, who is three now.
Yeah.
He loves Bouncing Girl.
They sure do grow up fast.
We never had that guy on the show, did we?
No, we didn't.
Met him 4 years ago.
Never had the dev of Bouncy Girl on the show. And we've mentioned it in a couple podcasts. We should do a video so people can actually see what this game is.
Oh, my goodness. It's really ridiculous. I mean, it's just like a girl in cheerleader outfit and top-down view of the Earth, you know, and there's like a trampoline under her. And all she does is like make silly cheerleader poses. And then... What's that song?
Higher and higher. Ride of the Valkyrie.
Thank you. Yeah. So yeah, I think my max height is like 4.5 kilometers or so. And
what's really cool is you're just jumping and you're like, oh, I can see the treetops, and you jump again. Oh, wow, there's clouds. Oh, and an airplane. And then you're just in space. it's a crazy game. It's so stupid, but it was that is a game that was tailored perfectly to a smartphone.
But
the price was 99 cents.
Yeah. It should still be out there. You should all buy Bouncing Girl.
Well, actually check first though, because that brings up my point. Oh, right.
I'm gonna
now,
look.
Is as they upgrade iOS and Android OS, a lot of the previous games are now broken.
Oh, it works on my iPhone 6.
So. Well, I can't imagine that it used many difficult APIs there. It probably, you know, but like things that I paid real money for, like Ghost Trick by Capcom, and The World Ends With You from Square Enix. I mean, these games were $15, $20 each, which is a lot for a smartphone game. They don't work anymore. They are broken.
Oh, wow.
Now, actually, both of those games I got while they were on sale, so neither of them I paid more than $10 for, but my point still stands. A lot of people did buy them at full price, and they become unplayable.
That's
because the developer, because with a smartphone game, they're not thinking about the long tail of the whole thing. You know, they get 90% of their sales probably the first year, and then after that it's pretty much nothing. So it's not worth the resources to fix it if a new operating system breaks it. So now Square Enix originally had the statement that they were looking into it, but recently they posted something. Now hopefully this changes by the time this podcast is out, because hopefully the backlash will get to them. But they basically posted, they're like, it's at end of life. And they just pulled it from the App Store altogether. So even if you have an older phone that could use it, you can't get it anymore. And I don't know if you can still re-download it. I'm hoping so. I should test that later. But if they've actually pulled the ability to re-download it, that's really bad.
Well,
because that's a game ceasing to exist.
I was momentarily worried that Bouncing Girl had indeed joined those games, such as Flappy Bird.
Okay.
Which I still have on my phone, by the way.
Congratulations.
It's still thanks. It's still here, Bouncing Girl, it's one word. And there's more. There's more $1. So there's Bouncing Girl in nurse costume, Bouncing Girl in maid costume, Bouncing Girl in officer costume, Bouncing
what?
Girl in sailor costume.
Are these DLC?
I don't know.
Or are these separate games?
Would it matter?
It would matter to me. You've just found a way to get me back into iOS gaming.
March 2013.
So those are new. They're new.
Yeah, they're all three of them. March 11th, 2013, made for iOS 3 or later.
You see that? That's a developer still supporting their product.
Well, 2 years ago.
Okay.
Hey, you know what's important about March 11th? What a coincidence.
Yes.
So I can't tell. I think it's the whole game, but since the original one was a dollar,
yeah,
no Bouncing Girls were harmed in the making of this game. It looks like the same description.
Yeah,
I mean, So the thing here is that, like, it looks like the background's just some kind of psychedelic, not real. Oh, no, wait. No, there's more pictures here. So, I don't know. I'm kind of curious.
I'm downloading them right now.
Just getting all of them.
Yes. See that? I'm back. I'm back into iOS games. No, I am not going to buy them all. I might buy one though, because it looks like they're actually made for new phones. Like they're high res. The old one was kind of low res.
Well, it says iOS 3 though, so I don't think that they're the, you know, the.
But they have to be, because Apple won't approve apps that are still in low res anymore.
So you think that these are going to go away in a year or two?
No. As long as they're already there, but if they submitted an update or something, like if it did break in the OS, they need to have a high res version.
Okay.
Or I don't know. They obviously updated the icon, because icons have been required to be in high res for a while now. Anyway,
right.
But that's enough about Bouncing Girl.
Yeah, I mean, you know, a game like Bouncing Girl, you're right, doesn't have the problems that other ones would have. Like, I couldn't play Robot Unicorn Attack 2 for a while. They finally updated it after the iPhone 6 came out, but, like, I couldn't play it on the iPhone 4. Like, it was just impossible.
And I mean, that's the thing. The ones that are going to get updated are the ones that continue bringing in money. So you're probably looking at really constant, good upgrades for free-to-play titles. But at the same time, if a free-to-play title isn't making money anymore, it's going to disappear completely. The server will be down, meaning even if you bought in-app purchases and things like that, if the network goes down, you can't even play it anymore. So I don't know which one is even worse. They're both really bad.
So why do people want Nintendo or other companies to go to this model exactly?
Because it is right now where the money is. The development costs are incredibly low. Like, you've seen all the AAA studios have gone belly up in the last 5 years, because you basically are at a point where you have one or two failures and that's all you get. That's all you have, because you have everything banked on your next big game. And if the public doesn't buy into it, I mean, look at how The Order is being received. What's the company behind that? Is it Ready at Dawn?
Mm-hmm.
Have you been hearing about this?
Nope.
Basically, the reviews have been really, really bad, because you can beat the game in like 5-6 hours, and it's like half cutscenes. But it's beautiful. It's a beautiful looking game, and the company invested 5 years of development into it. And I don't know how sales are yet. I don't think we have reports of that, because a lot of people pre-ordered just based on how it looked. It might still sell fine, but it's going to lose its tail because of the bad word of mouth and things like that. And what's sad is, you know, that could take out a company.
I mean, it's really too bad that this release is so close to that of Dragon Age, because they really could have padded the gameplay time with some herbs gathering.
Dude, you gotta get your console programming chops in order. Maybe you can use Unity. Unity,
yeah.
Are you sponsoring us yet? Unity. You could use the Unity engine, a really good multi-platform engine, to make an herb gathering simulator, and we can sell that.
There's so much. We end up making a Famicom Dojo branded game. It's going to be that, isn't it? That's just what we're going to have to do.
Well, there is already a Famicom Dojo branded game.
We didn't make it though.
No, we didn't. We didn't.
And it's down currently. We had to put it up ourselves at this point.
Oh, really? Are we hosting it right now?
No, we should be, though.
We should.
I just think about things we said on this show about how like impressive the mobile market looks, but especially when you have one piece of hardware that like they're dedicated to, you know, continual upgrade cycle and everything. But now I'm hearing for the first time that things are just falling by the wayside.
Well,
as it ages.
I just think it was so good a few years ago. It looked so promising to me, because I mentioned it even in this thing. I said, I don't buy console. I don't want to buy from eShop, or I don't want to buy from like any marketplace that's tied to a console, because when the console dies, the network dies. But I said I felt okay buying from iOS, because it looked like that wasn't going away. And it's not. But it's up to the developers to continue to support their product after its life. Whereas if I plug in one of the thousands of cartridges behind me, it's going to function exactly the same now as it did in the 80s. The developer doesn't have to put anything more into it because it's a complete product. And I think it's a complete product on a system that's not changing. But when you have an ecosystem that's constantly changing, an OS that's constantly changing, I feel the same way about PC games, but, you know, emulation has allowed a lot of things like that to work. Like, for a long time, if using Windows, you'd have such a hard time getting your DOS games to run, if at all. But now they've got things like DOSBox and things like that.
Right, right. So there's revival there, but there's no, you know, new development to speak of.
It makes me sad, and what really makes me sad is I love Sega. I really didn't get into Sega until the Saturn and Dreamcast games, and recently I've been rediscovering the Mega Drive days, which there's some fantastic stuff, and of course Master System. There's some wonderful stuff, and of course I've always known their arcade games. And I mean, arcade division, they're pretty much gone. And with the new restructuring, they probably are actually gone now. I hope I'm wrong on this one. But, I mean, Sega, it looked like they were going to overtake Nintendo at one time, you know? How, you know, during the Genesis games, Sega was just, they were there. They were hip. They were the thing to do. And, I mean, someone asked us recently on our Denshi Mail thing, the greatest console mistakes, and Sega just had one after another after another. You know that scene in The Simpsons where Sideshow Bob is after Bart and he trips and he knocks a rake into his face, and then he turns around and he knocks another rake into his face, and then he turns around and he knocks another rake into his face? That's Sega. It was just a huge sequence of rakes.
Yeah, because what happened there? They went to the Saturn. Well, before that, they had the 32X.
I'd say even the Sega CD was a misstep. As much as I loved the system, I did enjoy it very much. But it was all FMV garbage, except for a couple real, real cool gems, like anything working designs localized, or some good arcade ports, but for the most part, it was FMV trash.
So basically, before the console was even off the shelves, that made them really an international name. They started messing up the Sega Saturn.
Yep.
They didn't really bet the farm on 3D.
No.
And that didn't help. When they had to compete against Sony,
and then they launched it without letting their third parties know they were launching it. There's a rake. And 32X was still on the market, confusing customers. There's a rake, right?
And you heard of the Neptune, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's that.
It's never got released, but it was talked about in gaming magazines, and everyone. I mean, personally, I don't think Sega CD was bad hardware. But at the same time, that they were trying to make original titles for that while still doing the cartridge stuff, and lock-on technology has never been a good idea. And then they released games that required both the Sega CD and the 32X to play.
Not many. But, you know, Scottie Pippen Slam City was pretty...
Frankly, I think that was Sega's thank you to fans by making the game so incredibly hard that future generations would never be able to play it.
Oh my gosh. I mean,
it's so hard to play.
I don't own one yet, but I will happily add to my collection the Sega branded Power Strip.
Yeah.
Good Lord.
There's one on Game Gavel right now.
The reason why this hurts me so much, because as I mentioned last episode, I didn't really own anything from the 16-bit era until recently.
Yeah.
What hurts me is the Dreamcast failed.
Oh, man. But the thing is, the Dreamcast actually didn't do so bad compared to, like, some of their previous hardware. It's just it was too little too late.
Well, also, they sold it at a loss, from what I understand. They just can't do that.
And piracy. Piracy, really. I knew several people in college, I hate to say, but I knew several people who had bought Dreamcast and had never purchased a game. because it was so easy to do. And that saddens me. It was incredibly easy to pirate. They sold it at a loss, and you know, at that time they were already there's so many good games for the Dreamcast, and so many in Japan as well. And in Japan they kept it going for quite a while, even after it was already dead. The Dreamcast really hurt, because it did so much in the short time it was there, but now when Sega went all console, I remember feeling Funeral March music in my head. But I remember a lot of people were really excited about it. They're like, finally, we can play Sonic on a Nintendo system, and we can play blah, blah, blah on blah, blah, blah. And people were really excited about it. But it's just been a slow downward slump since then. You know, just...
Yeah. Because, you know, I know, like, I did buy Sonic Adventure 2 on the GameCube.
Yeah.
And yeah, like it seemed like it was going to be okay at first, right?
Yeah. It was fine. It was a fine console port, I think. they took out the raising sim part, but you know, it was okay game. But like it's just that I think without having their games made to specific hardware, which they knew very well and could program for and get the most out of, They were trying to be on everything, and I just don't think the strength ever came. And frankly, I don't know. Maybe it's also that Sega's best work, that Sega's awesome work, was when they were making arcade games. And when they stopped making arcade games, or stopped making many arcade games, and when the public's taste for arcade games kind of dried up, I mean, those were their best ports and their best, you know, their awesome, awesome games. But, you know, the whole mood of gaming changed and maybe just kind of left Sega behind.
Good old AM2.
But not me. Sega made games that I liked, and Sega made games that didn't sell very well but were very good. And then current, like recent Sega, I don't know.
You know what the last Sega game I bought was? I mean, I'm not counting the Sonic Racing iOS game that was like free the day I downloaded it.
Okay.
It was The Cave, which isn't even a Sega game.
Yeah, it's just published
by Sega, done by Double Fine.
Mine was, let's see, last Sega game, not smartphone. Probably Bayonetta. Yeah.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, the Xbox 360 version. Yeah, that's probably the last one. Mad World before that.
Right? And I don't know what to think. What happened?
Well, I mean, again, lots of rakes, but I mean, part of it is Sega definitely. They never should have released Sonic Boom. That was garbage. And, you know, because you lose all your goodwill, you know, if your name means nothing. But then again, at the same time, they released a critically acclaimed Aliens game, which was very, very good. But they'd already kind of ruined the brand by that time. Sega has this thing of like, hey, we made something that people actually liked. Let's not ever do that again. You know, like everybody liked Sonic Generations. Everyone's like, Sonic Generations, Sonic, it's a revival of the Sonic series. It's finally a good Sonic game again. And after that, they're like, let's do something totally different. Or people get so excited, they're like, oh, it's back to the roots. It's just Sonic again. And they're like, no, 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 no. Sonic needs a whole entourage of terrible friends. He needs to make out with human women. I mean, you know. What,
really? I don't even want to know. I don't want to know if that's how you translate the Sonic Boom.
That's how it left the hedgehog population.
Good Lord.
It's like Ebola with the monkeys. Okay. Oh man.
Maybe I don't know. I'm just depressed now. Is there anything we can say to lighten the mood before we move on?
That there's still a ton of Sega games that I am still discovering. They have an amazing back catalog. And you know what? Considering a lot of the games that they've been putting out recently, I think I'm okay to go Sega retro, to tell you the truth. Because
those Sega classics, 3D classics that they've been releasing for 3DS, yes. I don't own a single one yet, and I feel terrible about that.
I think it's a company that had products for a certain era, and I just don't know if people, even if they continued making games of the quality they did during, I'm going to say Japanese Saturn rather than American Saturn, but you know, and Genesis, Mega Drive, you know, Dreamcast. And of course their arcade output. I think even if they made games of that caliber today, I just don't know if the audience is there anymore. I think, you know, they don't have anything like, and I think that's what they're going to try to do now. They're going to try to make Phantasy Star Online to be more of a free-to-play something, hopefully get some of those short attention span gamers into it. But I don't know. I wish them the best though, but the way they're going doesn't make me excited about what they're doing anymore. Whereas Nintendo, I love the output they're doing these days. I adore it, but man, is it not working out for them.
Oh, yeah, I got a story about that.
It's so not working out for them. Tell me your story.
Oh, all right. Yeah, I guess I'll do mine first then. So
okay. This is
kind of a pile of shame, I guess.
Okay.
Because this is about a game I haven't been able to play.
Okay.
But I've played before. If that makes any sense.
Nope.
Well, you may have heard about this little game called Majora's Mask.
I've heard it alluded to.
I believed it for a long time to be my favorite console Zelda. At least I like it more than Ocarina.
Okay.
I think it's probably still true. But it's like up there in my top three, let's say. But I haven't really played it since it first came out. And I could still play it now. I could just pick it up. I'm kind of afraid to because, you know, it's been 15 years.
Oh, and since then you've upgraded the OS on your Super Nintendo? Your Nintendo 64. it's now a Nintendo 64.3C. Okay.
No. but you know, I really wanted to get, you know, the 3D remake because I probably would have gotten Ocarina of Time 3D if I had owned a 3DS at the time.
Okay.
And now the only way I can get it is through downloading, and I'm not into that so much. So maybe that's my solution here. Is I just go digital. But
No. Stay away from digital. That's how you can get Sonic Boom. Stick with physical.
Here's my problem. Here's my problem. I have had such a frustrating experience trying to buy this game, specifically through the Best Buy that I live near.
Okay.
When I got my PS4, I got like a ton of coupons.
Okay.
You know, through their awards program. So I was like, all right, I'm going to use these to pre-order Majora's Mask.
Okay.
Because they're, as it turns out, well, I'll get to that in a second.
Okay.
But I had this just terrible experience. So they have these enormous touchscreen pre-order kiosks.
Okay.
And the one I walked up to was just frozen. And that was on my way somewhere.
Like, let it go, let it go.
No. Like as in it was inoperable. But, you know, still showing things on the screen. And I had used this actually to pre-order like Dragon Age and Smash Brothers for Wii U.
Okay.
And I walk up to this thing. It's busted. It's not going to work. I talk to someone right away. I'm like, hey, I can't pre-order a game I wanted. And the guy says what's on the screen. What?
Okay. Does Best Buy allow pre-orders via humans?
Yes.
Okay.
And they actually had like a stack of cards next to the pre-order kiosk, but you know, none of them were, Majora's Mask. It's like the guy says what's on the screen. It's probably, I think it's like the newest, Assassin's Creed game, and he just pulls it off the tag off for me. I'm like, hey, just take this up to the counter. It's like, no, this, I do not want this game. This is just the screen it was on. And it took a little while for that to sink in. It's like, oh, we'll go look for it. What did you want? Medora's Mask?
Wow.
Yeah.
Can't there be some kind of, like, if you're going to sell games, you have to at least know a little bit about them?
Yeah, one would think. So,
some kind of test, I don't know, licensing, whatever.
No. I trained at a Best Buy for a week before I got a better job and never actually worked before. Let me tell you. It was an easy decision.
Okay.
But, yeah, so he goes back, looks at the computer, brings it up, and, you know, it's just a pre-order. It should be easy enough. Yeah. But it's like, no, I want to use these coupons. Got to make it hard on myself, you know. And I actually remember the last time I tried this to at least get my rewards, whatever account linked to it. It was kind of a pain, and I had to do some kind of magic to make it work. So, of course, I run into the exact same problem. Right. I don't have these coupons on me. They're digital. It's part of the reason that they have this new reward system that you don't have to bring the coupons in. But I was hoping that one had like just recently expired. I was hoping that they could still kind of work it in there, you know, nice guy discount kind of thing.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of partly why I was sort of stubbornly pushing this angle of it, where when I could have very well just have pre-ordered it, pay the minimum amount down, use the coupon when I picked it up. Although, yep, I would have had to allow $5 more to expire in the meantime.
Oh, no.
I know. But I was in a hurry, too. I was trying to go somewhere. Yeah. And this was supposed to be easy. Go in, pre-order, go out. But no. Through this whole rigmarole. So, long story short, I don't pre-order it because of all the technical hurdles. And they want me to, like, log in to my account on their website to get the linkage to work, but then it sends me like a password notification, but sends it to an email address. The link is checked once every hour, so that's not going to happen. And I'm just, it's just everything is going wrong. I'm like, fine, I'll just do this later. I don't do it later. I don't know if this would have worked if I had like pre-ordered online, because I'm like, all right, the special edition sold out. Pre-orders are still going online. I'll be able to find it after it comes out, right?
Wow.
Yeah, that was a mistake.
Did you not look at the game case to see what company made this?
Did I not remember
the podcast we just did? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so I tried to go back to the same Best Buy to purchase it, and of course they're all out since launch day. And now by now that $5 coupon I was worried about has expired. It's just like I got one more left. Who the heck knows? I've made this terrible, terrible mistake, and I'm not that I have time to play Medora's Mask with all the work I've been doing in the videos and whatnot, but I just wanted to have it so that when I was ready, it would be, you know, bought, purchase at a good price, and I'd just be ready to play it. But this is what I've done to myself.
So trying it's sold to buy out physical everywhere media. Now?
I don't know. I could look at Target. I could look at Amazon, probably where I'm going to go at this point, but it's like this need to save money on it is what really drove this whole issue. So physical copy and buy it at a discount.
So what's on your pile of shame this week is your gumption.
Like my failure to add to my pile of shame, more like I just, it would, so right, that's where it would have gone immediately. And it's just, I don't know. This is like an intersection of so many problems that I have as an aging gamer. I just feel terrible about the whole thing, and I should have just bought it.
Yep.
So I hope you have a better story for me.
Well, I'm going to tell you about a game that I just bought.
Okay.
And I bought it at Famicom Dojo, actually, the real Famicom Dojo.
Yeah.
Because I hadn't seen
the fake ones.
Because I hadn't seen one before. Sure. The game's called Hyperzone, and I saw that it was made by Helken, which is the, HAL. You know, they do Kirby and stuff like that.
Sure.
It's kind of an early title. It's a 91 title. And I hadn't heard of it before. And I asked what type of game it was. And I just heard it was an action game. I didn't really know what, you know. But action games are easy for me to play, you know, without having to look for guides or things like that. So I picked it up for like $5. Not a bad price. I brought it back and I put it in, and it reminded me instantly of F-Zero. It's got that kind of early Mode 7 type stuff, but it's got like a track on the bottom and a track on the top. So it looks like you're kind of in a tunnel the whole time, and you've got some places which do damage, like F-Zero, and other places that you gain speed-ups or power-ups or life, again, like F-Zero. But at the same time, you're not restricted to being just on the track. You can also hover above it. You can fly around. And in that way, it's a lot like Space Harrier.
Oh,
and yeah, it just seemed to be like a cross between. And an old game I used to play on the Apple IIgs, I don't know if anybody's ever heard of this, but Tunnels of Armageddon. I think they made PC versions as well, but it's kind of like that game. But that game was a little more twitchy, like you had to know it pretty well. This one's a little more forgiving. Then again, I was on the early levels. Music's good. I like Space Harrier. I like F-Zero. I'm bad at both of those games. I hope there's a Konami code in this one somewhere that I can use. But I'm really enjoying it so far, and I'm waiting to dive into this one more as it goes along. So look at that. We're ending on a positive note. I found a game, and the thing is, I thought I'd found like an undiscovered, amazing like game that I was going to recommend to everyone who's into import games, because it was super, super import friendly because everything was in English. And I post about it, and like I get a comment back like 10 seconds later going, oh, it was released in the United States. Wow. So I got to say, how did I miss it? You didn't hear about this either, right?
No, I don't remember this at all.
It was an early, 91. That's when I was a subscriber to Nintendo Power. That's they must not have had it at the supermarket where I was renting games. But I still don't see how I missed it through, because it seems to me to be a very fun game, one that would be remembered and heard of. Maybe it gets worse as it goes along, but for the time I've put into it right now, I'm really enjoying it. And I don't know why. You should get this one. You should try this one.
Okay.
It's really fun. If we ever do an episode about Mode 7, I'd like to put this one in, because it's really impressive for 91. And that's another thing. That's why I'm surprised I haven't heard about it more. Like, it looks really good for the time it came out.
Oh, so this box art does look familiar. But HAL America Inc. published it, I guess.
Yeah. Huh. But anyway, that is my future retro. And I think my whole future retro idea right now is, I am so excited when I find a game that I have not played or heard of before. And it's been happening a lot more recently as I'm delving into a lot of these stacks of retro games. Right now, like, I don't dig for games because I have pretty much everything I want in my personal collection, that I wanted for nostalgia or things like that. So now I'm much more excited about finding cartridges I've never seen before. And that's what I'm buying these days. And a lot of them are garbage, yes, because, there's a reason you haven't heard of a lot of games. But occasionally I come along stuff like this Hyperzone game. And again, it might turn out not to be the greatest game of all time, but it's definitely an enjoyable one that I hadn't heard of before.
Yeah, I'm looking at screenshots right now, and I see what you mean about it reminding you of F-Zero.
Yeah, sure. totally.
Huh. Yeah, I want to check this out now. I'm sure next time I'm at a used game store, I'm going to add this to my
probably,
list.
Yeah, you probably pick it up pretty cheap. I don't know. The Japanese version, as I said, is about $5. If it's an expensive title in the States, let me know. I'll get you one.
Cool. Yeah, because I need things to play for my Super Famicom anyway.
Super Famicom is such a fun system.
Right.
Yep.
I bought a copy of Chrono Trigger for like 50 yen.
You're not going to get it that cheap anymore. But yeah, there was a time when they were like clearancing that everywhere.
I mean, it's all in Japanese though. So I have two. What is it? I have it on like a disc with the Final Fantasy game for PlayStation, and they have the Wii Virtual Console version.
Yep. I have it on my iPad, which doesn't work anymore. going full circle.
The iPad works, but the game.
Oh, the iPad works. The game does.
Just to clarify.
Well, that was kind of negative. So you know what? I'm gonna go play Hyperzone because that was making me happy, and this podcast has made me sad.
Oh.
And you know what? I'm also gonna play. I've got my classics collection for Mega Drive, and hats off to Sega for all they've done, and if it really is the end of your console ambitions, you will not be forgotten, and there's still so many really good games out there, and Sega forever. There.
I think I chewed up a little bit.
I know.
All right, so on that note,
I'm tearing up as well, but that's unfortunately from the Sonic Boom.
Oh, God.
All right. Okay, now you can end it.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to. Until next week, the dojo is
trying to find some sound.
Good, that's for that.
Famicom Dojo.
If you enjoyed this episode, please visit our show notes at famicomdojo.tv and leave a comment. Subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or our RSS feed. Rate and leave a comment on our free iTunes storefront, or call us at 608-492-1923 to share your thoughts. Follow Famicom Dojo on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube to train your game. And visit littlepodcast.com to sponsor an episode or listen to any of the other great shows on the Little Podcast Network.